Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Bless the Lord. You ready for the word today? Hey, take your Bible, whether it's in book form or digital form, I want you to hold it high in the air. And we do this really to position our hearts for receiving the word today. So say it after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I will do what it says for me to do. I place myself under the authority of God's word. It says I am blessed. Therefore, I am blessed. It says I am healed. Therefore, I am healed. It says I am an overcomer. Therefore, I overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every hindrance through the name above every name, Jesus Christ. I open my heart and I open my mind to receive God's word. I receive this word and I confess this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, 2024 is in full swing. I was told you could only say Happy New Year the first 3 or 4 days of the new year, but we're going to extend it to the first Sunday. Amen. Happy New Year to everyone. And I love this time of year because potential and possibilities are before us. And I get to speak a word over you, over your home, and over your family. I declare blessing over your household. I declare favor over your finances, and I speak the promises of God over your life, over your family, over your marriage, over your relationships, and over your career. I believe God has made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And I prophesy today that his countenance is turned toward you, his favor is upon you, and I am claiming and prophesying that this is going to be a year for God to elevate some things in your life. Do you receive that today? Can you give God praise? I speak and declare that elevation is coming to you. You better make some room. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, make some room. God's about to do something. See, the plans that you have already laid out are too small. So I want to challenge you, expand your thinking on this first Sunday of 2024. Expand your capacity because God is about to do something incredible in your home. I love Isaiah 54, verse 2 and verse 3. The prophet writes and says, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Can somebody say, thank you, Lord? I think you need to hear that again. This side over here didn't quite get it. Come on, young folk, help me out. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense, for God will soon cause you to burst at the seams. It's a promise. We claim it. We stand upon the word. Now, to elevate means to raise up. It means to lift up. It means to take higher. When I think of elevate, I think of three different words, and I want you to write these down. The first word is this. I think of promotion. God's going to bring promotion in your life. God's going to bring promotion to some of you in your career. God's going to bring promotion to you in your situation. I think of advancement. I think of moving forward. I think of growth. Advancement is in your future. But also I think of this word, write the word empowerment. I believe you're going to walk in a greater anointing than you've ever walked in before. God wants to pour his spirit out upon you. The moment you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's spirit dwells and abides within you. He and the Father come make his abode, his home with you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. But church, we believe that there's a subsequent experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that God will fill you, anoint you, and cause your cup to overflow with the power of the Spirit of God. I believe in 2024, there's empowerment for your spiritual life. Now, we are speaking about God's order and not man's order. And how many know sometimes God does things just a little bit different than you anticipate? God works in reversal often, not always. But often you will see God work in reversal. The last shall become first. And there's a passage in the book of Ezekiel I feel like the Lord led me to in preparing for this theme. Ezekiel 17, verse 24. And all the trees will know that it is I, the Lord, who cuts the tall tree down and makes the short tree grow tall. It is I who makes the green tree wither and gives the dead tree new life. Now notice this. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do what I said. The tall tree is cut down, but the short tree grows tall. He is the sovereign God. And it is he who makes the green tree wither and gives life to the dead tree. I believe God is going to elevate some of us. I believe he's going to elevate you right out of the crisis you find yourself in. I believe that God's going to elevate you out of the pit that you have fallen in. I believe God's going to elevate others out of the dead-end job you've been working at for years. I believe that God's going to elevate you right out of that dead situation that you've been managing over for so long. The psalmist said this in Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me up out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground, and he steadied me as I walked along. I believe in 2024, God's going to steady you as you walk along. I believe you won't be weak, but you'll be strong. I believe you won't be tired, but you'll be refreshed. I believe God's going to make you the head and not the tail. I believe the best is yet to come, and I believe God's got something great in store for your life. But the psalmist didn't stop there. Verse 3, he says, he has given me a new song to sing, a praise to our God. And many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. God's going to lift you up, elevate you, but it's not so much about you as it is about the song he places in your heart. And he's telling you to sing that new song. Because that song is going to testify of the good things of the Lord. And everybody around you is going to see what the Lord has done. And they're going to put their trust in the Lord. See, everything God does for you is to be a blessing to somebody else. God elevates you in order that you might serve others. God elevates you, promotes you, so that you might be his messenger, that you might sing a new song, that you might testify, that you might declare, and that you might prophesy that the Lord does great things. Somebody give him praise. Now, I feel like the Lord said this, for some it will be a suddenly, and yet for others it is going to be a step by step and little by little. Now, verse 24 of Ezekiel 17, the very last phrase says, I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do what I said. I believe this phrase entails three things, and they're very important. First, it speaks about God's sovereignty. God rules and reigns over all things. But he is sovereign. He can promote and bring down. He can elevate and he can bring low. He is sovereign in all that he does. But it also speaks of his faithfulness. You can count on God. He can be trusted to keep his promises. And the third thing I think it does is it speaks to his ultimate authority to execute his plans. See, Ezekiel is speaking in chapter 17 in allegorical terms. When he says, all the trees will know that it is I, he is speaking of all the nations. All the nations will know that the Lord is the one who elevates one nation and brings down another nation. And though Israel had been in captivity, and though as a nation she had been brought low, yet God in his time was going to elevate her again. Now, church, how can we apply this to our life? You may feel like life has decimated you. You may feel like life has treated you harshly. You may feel like 2023, you were beat up, left for nothing, and 2023 got the best of you. But I know the one who's about to elevate you. I know the one who's going to promote you. See, everyone around you may think it is impossible. Everyone may say it cannot happen. Others may have written you off and they have moved on, and others may have dismissed it. But hear what the Lord says. I, the Lord, has spoken, and I will do what I said. You have to believe the word of God over you. There will always be naysayers. There will always be people who will see the glass half empty. What just went wrong and why it can't happen. There will always be those who will try to temper your expectations. There'll be those who tell you, listen, don't set your sight so high. Don't believe for such great things. I want to challenge you. Enlarge your house. Lay it all out before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I'm believing you that 2024 is the year of elevate. That you're going to do something great in my life. Church, friends, you may feel like life has brought you down. You may feel like the past year has been a series of battles, leaving you weary and worn out. However, the passage of Ezekiel 17:24 is a beacon of hope for us. It assures us that our circumstances do not define our future. The same God who promised to elevate Israel is still in the business of lifting up those who trust in him. And the world around you might deem the situation as hopeless. They may say it is impossible. It cannot happen. But remember, we serve the God who specializes in the impossible. He gives life to the dead, hope to the hopeless, strength to the weak. And when God says, I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it, he is affirming his commitment to his promises. His word is unchanging. His word is reliable. And the book of Numbers tell us, he is not a man that he should lie. If he has promised to elevate you, he will surely do it. So no matter what 2023 threw at you, hold on to the promise God gave you. Hold on to the vision you have in your heart. Now, what I want to do today in this morning's sermon is I want to show you how this concept of elevation is biblical. I want to give you some examples of where it happens in the New Testament. Then we're going to lay out some things that you and I need to do. So first of all, write this. It is a principle of the word. elevate, or elevation, is a principle found throughout the Word of God. He takes people from a lower status to a higher status. He takes people from a lesser to a greater level. You find this principle throughout the Word of God. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. Write this name. Write the name Moses. And you'll find in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, it says, the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. Now go to verse 10. The Lord says, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh, and you must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. At this time, Moses was a shepherd in Midian when God appeared to him in a burning bush and elevated him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses would go on and do great things and experience the power of God like no other. He would watch the Lord work through him as he stretched forth his staff over the Red Sea. And the Spirit of God caused the winds to blow. And during that night, the Red Sea would part and the Israelites would walk across on dry ground. He would go on the Mount of Sinai into the cloud and talk with God and receive the Ten Commandments. God had elevated him from a shepherd to a messenger, to a prophet, to a deliverer. However, most of us react in similar ways as Moses initially reacted to God's call. In verse 11, it says, Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And maybe you're thinking today, who am I that God should elevate me? Who am I that God should bring promotion to my house? Who am I that God should look so favorably upon me? Can I remind you who you are? You are loved by God. You're chosen by God. Peter says you're a royal generation. You are a holy priesthood. Can I remind you that God loves you with an unconditional love, that he has turned his countenance toward you? Quit beating yourself up. Quit thinking you're less than less and begin to realize God wants to give you the kingdom of heaven. He's going to elevate some things in your life. But so often we're like Moses, I can't do this, Lord. I can't. And many of you are sitting there saying, it's a great word for my neighbor, but I just can't believe it for myself. Believe this for yourself. Write this name, write the name Joseph. Now, many of us know the story of Joseph. Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream that one day his brothers would serve him. He was his father's favorite child. His father had given him a coat of many colors. His other brothers were jealous. They despised him because there was favor on Joseph's life. They learned to hate him. Matter of fact, they threw him in a pit and then sold him to Egyptian traders and told their father he'd been killed. He was dead. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, but God elevated him to become the governor of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. But Joseph had to go through some stuff before he was elevated to a greater position. And sometimes you have to go through some stuff. Sometimes it doesn't just happen instantaneously. Sometimes it just doesn't happen in a moment. You've got to walk through some stuff. But as you're walking through it, keep the vision alive. As you're walking through it, keep the dream alive. Realize God is going to turn these things around. God's going to advance you. God's going to help you. You may get knocked down, but get back up. You may have to take a couple steps backwards, but you say, I'm determined tomorrow to take some steps forward. Don't throw in the towel, but surrender yourself to the goodness of God. He's working in your life. He's working on your behalf. God elevated him to a greater position. A position God used to preserve his covenant with Abraham. A position that God used to preserve the patriarchs of what would later become the nation of Israel. God elevated him to a position that God used to be a blessing to others and to save many lives. In Genesis 41, verse 37, it says, Joseph's suggestions were well received by the Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? But I want to ask a question. If you'd have walked through the rejection he'd walked through, would you be filled with the Spirit of God or spirit of anger, bitterness, resentment, hurt? So often we allow these things to dominate us instead of saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. Pharaoh said to Joseph, verse 41, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. The Lord promoted him. And in this role, he saved many lives during a severe famine, including those of his own family. Let me tell you something I think is real important. Your promotion is tied to purpose. Your elevation is intertwined with serving and helping others in the kingdom of God. When God promotes you, don't forget your brother and sister behind you. When God elevates you, don't forget those who helped you and you stood upon their shoulders. Don't forget to be a blessing to others. God may give you a position. God may give you a title. God may elevate you, but he's doing so that you can better serve the kingdom of God, that you can better serve the purposes of the Lord. See, Joseph's brethren thought him harm, but Joseph understood that God was working it all in his favor. I imagine when Potiphar left him. I imagine when he was sitting there in prison, the enemy tried to discourage him, but Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a vision that one day God was going to elevate him. And hear me today, God did just that. And he would look at his brothers one day and say, what you meant for harm, God intended for good. The enemy's trying to destroy you. The enemy's trying to keep you down. He's attacked your identity. He's attacked your self-worth. He's thrown every curveball at you. But if you stay in that mess, you stay intertwined in that conflict, you'll miss what God wants to do. But if you let your heart be filled with the Spirit of God, God's going to elevate you. God's going to do it. Everybody around is going to say, look what God has done. You see this in the New Testament, the 12 disciples. They were ordinary men. Some were fishermen and tax collectors, and others were zealots. Jesus called them to follow him, and these men literally turned the world upside down. And their mission was simply this, to be with Jesus. Can I tell you what your mission is in 2024? It's not to seek elevation, but to seek Jesus. Seek Jesus. Make Jesus the matter of your heart and watch what the Lord does. Write this name. Write the name Paul. Paul was originally a persecutor of Christians. But after a dramatic encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he became one of the most influential apostles. And the letters that he wrote make up a significant portion of the New Testament. It is Paul who penned the words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. It was he who wrote these words. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? See, your elevation is a principle found throughout the Word of God. He takes people from a lower status to a higher status. He takes people from a lesser to a greater level. You find this throughout the Word of God. So why would it be any different today? It is not. Many of you have a testimony of where you used to be to where you are right now. And you look back and you realize God elevated some things. And I'm here to tell you, God is going to do it again. I don't have time to talk about Gideon and Ruth and David and Esther and Timothy. Yes, elevation is a principle found throughout the Word of God, which brings us to this thought: what must we do? We must humble ourselves. Write that. Humble ourselves. James 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord. He will lift you up in honor. 1 Peter 5, 6, so humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. At the right time, he will lift you up in honor. To humble is to come underneath his lordship. To submit your plans to his plans. Your will to his will. What must we do? We must have a childlike faith. Take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew 18, verse 4, just for a moment. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 4, Jesus said this, so anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the context of this is the disciples have just asked him a question. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? It was really a covert question for which one of us is the greatest. The disciples wanted to know which one among them was the greatest. So they waited breathlessly for Jesus to name the greatest man among them. But guess what? He bypassed them completely, and he called a little child into their midst. And this child became the example of true greatness. Warren Wiersbe writes this, an unspoiled child has the characteristics that make for humility, that make for trust, dependence. The heart of a little child is to make others happy. The heart of a little child is the absence of boasting or selfish desire to be greater than others. What God's looking for is that childlike faith to put your trust in him, to trust his goodness, his plan, to trust that he does want to elevate you. Papa says it. Papa's going to do it. Yes. Write this. Trust the process. It's important for you to trust the process to God. Act with humility in every situation. It's God's timing, not your timing. It's about the right season. It's about the right moment. And leave the seating arrangements to God. Leave the seating arrangements to God. See, we're trying to get to the right table. We're trying to get to the right seat. Leave the seating arrangements to God. Let me explain it. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus uses this analogy to bring about this lesson. And he talks about that there's a banquet, and the master of the banquet has invited all kind of people. And he says, when you get there, instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, he will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of all other guests. For those who exalt themselves, this is the lesson, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. See, trusting the process means believing in God's timing. It means allowing God to set the seating, to let God arrange things. Quit trying to make it happen for yourself. Quit trying to make your way to this place and that place. Simply be with Jesus and Jesus, the host, will come to you and say, hey, he'll tap you on the shoulder. He says, follow me. Elevation is coming today. Follow me. This is where you're supposed to be sitting. But so often, we're pushing ourselves. We're pushing our agenda. The disciples were pushing their own agenda. The disciples were trying to jockey for position. Hey, Jesus, when you get there, put me and my brother on your right hand and the other one on the left hand. When the others heard this, they were indignant. They were upset. Well, you would be upset too, because they were trying to one up the other. But God often works in reversal. He cuts the tall tree and he causes the small one to grow. A tree that is blossoming with green often begins to wither. And the tree that is dead, he brings life. For I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do what I have said. Real quickly, let's talk about three things. Let's talk about what your step is. Let's talk about things that we've got to do. The first thing is this. You've got to see it, write the word vision. You got to see that God wants to elevate you. You got to see that God wants to promote you. And I'm not saying don't put in for the promotion at work. I'm not saying, hey, don't try to better yourself. Yes, better yourself. Seek Jesus first. Seek his presence. Yes, get the best classes you can. Educate yourself. Position yourself for the Lord to do some great things. Because you got to see that God's going to take your efforts. He's going to multiply them. God's going to take your efforts and he's going to elevate you. So see the fact that God wants to bless you. I love these words of Jesus. I've said it many times. Fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. See the fact that God wants to bless you. Then you got to believe it. That's faith. Write the word faith. Once you have the vision, once you see it, then you got to believe it. Have faith that God will fulfill his promises. I love the writer of Hebrews. He defines what faith is. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the peoples in the days of old earned a good reputation. Through their faith, faith leads to action. Faith leads to doing something. Faith leads to, write this word, obedience. There in Hebrews chapter 11, he defines what faith is, and then he gives example after example after example of how faith promoted them, how faith opened doors, how faith brought the impossible, how faith did these things. And church, you have to keep showing up. You have to keep improving your skills. You got to keep doing the things that you know to do and you can do. And realizing God's arranging the table seating, and he's going to tap you on the shoulder, and he's going to say, brother, now it's time. Come on. I'm going to promote you today. I believe this principle. In 2019, I preached a sermon on the thought, your worship is a weapon. And when the Lord gave me this theme, this idea, this concept, he says, I'm going to elevate some things at Glad Tidings. I'm going to elevate some families. I'm going to bring promotion to their life. He also followed it up with this, but I'm going to require them to elevate some things in their life. Yes. And as they elevate some things, then I'm going to do the rest. When I think of this concept of elevation, I think of this concept of God bringing promotion. I think of how we need to elevate our commitment. We need to elevate our praise. See, things that we have control over, things that we have the ability to do, we need to elevate some things that we do, being faithful to the things of God, being faithful to what is in front of us. Don't sit there and wait for the dream to happen and do nothing. Do what is in front of you, and you'll find and discover along the way God is elevating you. So I preached this sermon in 2019. Your worship is a weapon. And I think there's ever been a time that we need to elevate our worship, elevate our praise. It is now. And in that sermon, there were two different words, Hebrew words. And one that I want to talk about in closing is the Hebrew word tada. It's a word for praise. And that word tada in the Hebrew means a sacrifice of thanksgiving. This kind of praise is when you offer it as a sacrifice. It costs you something. Psalm 50 verse 14 says, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. Make thankfulness, praise your sacrifice to God. Now, what was interesting about this word tada is there are two aspects of this Hebrew word. The first one is a response. You offer this sacrifice of praise in response to what God has already done. That's easy. Has God been good to you? You thank Him. Has God blessed you? Has God brought elevation to you in the past? Has God brought promotion to your household in the past? Has God restored your life? Has God forgiven your sins? Has God redeemed you? Has God set you free from the prison? Has God delivered you from the addiction? Has God delivered you from the heartbreak? Has God delivered you from the depression? Then you give Him a tada praise, a tada thanksgiving, because He's already moved in your life. But get this, the second aspect of that Hebrew word is prophetic in nature. It is acting on something before it happens. It means I'll thank Him today for what He's going to do tomorrow. I thank Him today for the elevation He's going to bring. I thank Him today for what He's going to do in 6 months. See, a lot of people got faith to thank Him for yesterday because they can see it. But you got to have the faith, church, that declares, I know God's going to bless me. I know God's going to help me. I know God's going to heal me. I know God's going to deliver me. I know God's going to help me. So I'll praise Him right now. I'll thank Him. I'll worship Him right now. I know God's going to promote me, so I'll go ahead and praise Him. I know God's going to help me. I'll go ahead and praise Him. Church, I believe your victory can be tied to your praise. I believe your victory can be connected to your worship. So in closing today, I'm going to ask us to give God this tada praise. You're believing God for some miracles. You're believing God for some breakthroughs. You're believing God for some answers. You're believing God to elevate. You're believing God to cause your enemy to be scattered 7 different ways. You're claiming it, mom, for your children. You're claiming it, dad, for your spouse. You're claiming it for your wife. You're claiming it for your grandchildren. But are you willing to go ahead and praise Him today as if it's already happened? See, I believe this principle. God's declared it. It's going to happen. It's not yet birthed in this physical realm. In the spiritual realm, it's already done. But I believe your praise helps start the engine of what God is going to do. And I believe that as you give Him praise today for what's going to happen tomorrow, it's just a matter of time before you realize it in the natural, before you realize it in the physical. See, I think sometimes you got to give birth to it. And ladies, you know giving birth is hard. It's difficult. It's painful. It takes every ounce of energy, every ounce of strength within you. But you also know the pain is worth it because there's a beautiful life at the end of that trial. And I believe, church, your sacrifice of thanksgiving will be worth it because the end thereof, there's going to be beauty for ashes. There's going to be strength for weakness. There's going to be the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See, you've been knocked down, but you're not destroyed. You've been kicked down. The enemy's tried to keep you down, but you're getting back up. You're declaring, this is my year. This is my time. This is my season. So I'm going to go ahead and praise him. I'm going to go ahead and worship. I'm going to go ahead